this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you the secrets of making a great baked potato. Plus, the announcement from Chase Bank that I am dead. All of this and you coming up in just seconds. Dr. Dave Iser with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Squatters create their own champagne room. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the duties and responsibilities of an NYPD cop working the polls on Election Day. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Two grown men get into a fight over roaming chickens. A 10 and 11-year-old sibling steal their mom's car for grounding them. A man gets arrested for having booty patrol written on his truck. And oh look, there's a giant 14-foot dinosaur with a carcass in his mouth. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. All that fun stuff's coming up on Florida Stories.
Bangor, Maine, unhappy hour. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here tonight. Can they make a doorknob that doesn't keep breaking? Plus, moving the internet cable in the house.
And I'm the one who has to pick all the dead mice up off the floor.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Election Day is coming up again. I hope you appreciate the work we go through to bring you the results. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You still watching TV?
It's just news.
How many hours of reading have you put in? I told you, 10 hours of book reading, 3 hours of exercise.
It's 1 hour of hygiene and 3 hours to do what I want. I know.
I already did my 10.
You need to get disciplined. Is that your feet, your butt, or your arms I smell?
All right, Sterling on Sunday, live on Sunday night. There's nothing else live. The gold show is not live. The Bitcoin show not only is not live, but probably not legitimate. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I get to spend 3 hours with you every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast. I'd be on more, but program directors in America are afraid. They're just afraid of everything. It's unbelievable how afraid they are. But, Jim Fischbach, Gene Christensen, Mark Simone, and Keith Mortensen and Harry Hurley, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. These are my shout-out buddies tonight. Oh, and Emilio, my hero. Let's review these names again with my glasses on so I don't stumble and sound as though I actually do know them, because I actually do know them. Jim Fischbach, Gene Christensen, Mark Simone, Keith Mortensen and Harry Hurley, and Emilio, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. What a joy and an honor it is to not have to clean up the kitchen tonight or get the kid ready for school tomorrow. That's the great advantage for me of being on the radio. I don't have to do those things. Now, I want to share with you something that I think is most important. A great deal of depression can be solved if you eat a potato before you go to bed. I'm not kidding you. If you eat... Hit the cough button, Walter. If you eat a baked potato before you go to bed, it's the last thing you eat, and then you go to bed, you'd be amazed about two things. One, you have far fewer cravings for sugar, and it evens out your blood sugar all day, really, and it makes you happier. I did this for years, and it works. There's a terrific book that changed my life called Potatoes Not Prozac. It came out in the late 1990s. Potatoes Not Prozac. And I thought it was a terrible title. And I still think it's a terrible title. But the subtitle is like, this should have been the title. The subtitle is How to Beat Sugar Addiction. Because I knew for years that the up and down cycles of needing sugar, up and down, up and down, up and down, getting up, orange juice, a candy, da da da, I knew that that was a problem, but I did not know how to break the cycle of sugar addiction. I knew it was key to maintaining weight and my mood and blah, 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 blah. And there are people who are sensitive to sugar. I'm not talking about diabetes. I'm just, there are different foods that different people are very sensitive to. And some people are very sensitive to sugar. For me, this book solved the problem. Potatoes, not Prozac. Potatoes, not Prozac. It explains step by step how to get off sugar. How the hell do you get off sugar? And she explains, but one of the first steps is you eat a baked potato before you go to bed. I know that sounds wacky, but it works. Now, therefore, I became an expert at baked potatoes. I am an expert at baked potatoes. And like you, what I do is I take a potato, wash it off, put it in the microwave for 8 minutes, and then eat it. But it's not the same as being at a great steakhouse and getting a steakhouse baked potato, or baked potato the way your grandma used to make with the crispy skin and the two slits on the top, and you could squeeze it open like rock, paper, scissors. And I'm like, that's not how it comes out of a microwave. But if I put it in the oven, that's going to be 50 minutes. I'm not going to 50 minutes. It's a waste of gas or electricity. And it's just a potato, right? Here's the trick. This is how to get a restaurant type potato without putting it in the oven for 50 minutes. It's like, oh my gosh, of course. Ready? Listen carefully. It's a tough recipe. It has two steps. You need a potato. You put it in the microwave for 8 minutes. Then you take it out of the microwave. You put it into the 450 oven for 10 minutes. Not 50, 10. And it comes out crispy on the outside, perfectly baked on the inside. And it took you a whopping 18, 19 minutes, not 50. And there you have a restaurant-grade baked potato, which you deserve. Because of the nonsense you've put up with this week and this weekend, you deserve the best baked potato possible. And in my experience, I'm not recommending anything medical because we don't need that problem, do we? I found that nothing evened out my blood sugar more, dealt with bouts of minor depression. I certainly didn't have anything resembling depression that I pity those who do. No, you know, it evens everything out to eat a baked potato before bed, and eliminated for me the cravings of sugar all day. Just evened it out, a baked potato. And I learned that from the book Potatoes, Not Prozac. We're very special, you and I. I know you're listening to me alone, and I'm sharing with you alone in my laundry room. And the biggest battle, the biggest problem in my laundry room is how much bleach. I am a huge believer in bleach. I think everything should be bleached. The bathtub, the sink, certainly all of my underwear, and I believe all of your underwear. That's the big battle, whereas Mrs. Sterling does not believe in bleach at all. That's because she was raised by a humorless person who only used store brand detergent. But I believe in bleach. These are the hot topics tonight coming up in just seconds. Last week, you and I got to spend time with my daughter, who's a freshman in college, and she had a big problem. You helped her solve it, I think. You and I will get an update on the status of her problem. I'll share with you again what the problem was. We have just so much to do. I just have so much friggin' stuff to do. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You're looking at them right now.
Now I did. Because you were talking about them.
Meredith is my daughter, who's a freshman at SUNY Purchase in New York State. And Meredith and her roommate had a problem, which they shared last weekend. You know, roommates have problems, especially freshman roommates have problems. problems. They shared it with you and me last week, and you came up with some pretty good answers. Would you please sum up the problem, Meredith? Would you please just summarize what the problem is? I don't hear Meredith. Hello? What? She disconnected? Why are you having issues connecting? What, you mean with me or her? With me or her? I'm enjoying this so far. It's 21 past the hour. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling, and I can't wait to share with you this incredible trip that you and I are going to take next October. You and I are finally going to go to the south of France together. Let's think about that. We're going to go to the south of France together. To get the information about this, this is a very limited group of people. It's a very limited trip, and it has the best feature of a 10-day trip to the south of France. We're not changing hotels. We're going to a terrific hotel. Be able to go to Nice, Ez, Monaco. We're going to have a fantastic time. I can't wait. Here's how you get the information. You go to Walter Sterling Show and scroll down a little on that website. Walter Sterling Show. Scroll down a little bit. And you will see a spectacular picture of the south of France. And that's where you and I are going to go. So please tonight get the information, because last week I announced it for the first time, and oh my gosh, I was stunned at the response. I mean, not really. It was France and the opportunity to go with me and my beautiful, sweet wife, Katie. We're all going to the south of France next October. A bunch of misfits. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to be pleasant to anybody. I'm not going to get on top of the bus and go rah, rah, rah. We're just going to have 10 days in the sun that we deserve. Get the information, please. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. Scroll down a little. Look for the picture of the south of France. It's beautiful. And then click the link and get the information. Meredith is a freshman at SUNY Purchase. And she and her roommate had a dilemma, which they shared with you and me last week. Meredith, sum up the dilemma, and then I want to know how things are going.
Hello.
Hello.
So the dilemma was that me and my roommate had a friend who wouldn't leave us alone, and she was overall not a good friend. She's done some rude things to me and my roommate and my roommate's sister, and overall we were having a hard time getting rid of her, or at least, you know, fixing the issue. And that's the summary.
Last week, we gave you the advice that you probably should chop off the head of the snake. Just chop it off. Get rid of that friend. It's not a real friend.
Yes.
What has taken place in the week since that incredibly great advice from New Jersey?
So I told you this, you know, prior to coming on the air, and it's only been a week. We haven't figured anything out yet.
Are you afraid? Are you afraid of this woman, as you call her?
I'm not afraid. I'm just easing out of it. I'm not going to chop off the head of the snake. I'm just going to ease myself out of it, because it's a very small campus I live on, and I don't want to have awkward, uncomfortable interactions with anybody. So I'd rather stay acquaintances and remain friendly with this person.
It's so interesting, because I crave uncomfortable relationships. I create them wherever I possibly can go. Like, the most terrifying thing to me is a neighbor.
Yeah.
You haven't approached this woman. You haven't said anything yet. You're still digesting all of the terrific advice you got. Is that right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And your roommate, who's slightly more aggressive than you are, how does she feel about this?
I'd say she's less aggressive than I am.
Mm-hmm. Are you disappointed?
I'd say I'm the meaner one.
You're the meaner one?
Yeah.
This is a side of you you've hidden from your parents.
I was the first one to say anything about her.
Mm-hmm. Well, will you... Do you have anything else to report? I know you made a very long journey to see some friends in Ohio from the state of New York. How was your journey? How's everything working out? Are they happy, these high school friends of yours that you're visiting this weekend, are they happy to see you, disappointed in you? How's it going?
Well, it's making me feel very happy that I don't live on a massive campus.
They're at what, Ohio University?
Ohio State.
That's a big school.
It's massive. They have little robots driving around delivering food.
Yes. You mentioned that in passing. Please, from scratch, tell us about these robots that deliver food.
There's robots, and they're all over campus. Like, you cannot walk outside without running into one. And they're just little square box robots on wheels that go to different restaurants in the area or even to the dining hall. And they pick up food and deliver them to dorms.
24 hours a day?
I think so. I don't know all the specifics.
Because rumor has it that some college students drink, and I can see them getting drunk and stumbling over the robots. Is that a possibility?
I'm sure it's happened. I saw people sitting on top of these robots. I've seen people hurt these robots. There's mixed feelings.
And in the snow, what's going to happen in the snow? It snows there.
I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're heated. Maybe they have heated wheels.
They're not on a track. They're on free wheels.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they roam freely. They cross the street. They.
What color are the robots?
They're white, and they have Ohio State stickers on them.
Have you gotten a food delivery from a robot yet?
No, they are not. No.
Do they go upstairs or in elevators?
No, they don't go inside. They sit outside, and you have to go get them.
Got it. Well, for the robots alone, that is worth the 400 miles that you drove to see your friends. And I'm very proud of you that you finally learned something new in college. Meredith, your mother and I are very proud of you and always shocked that you're actually our child because you're so pleasant. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday, and thank you so much for being my beautiful, sweet daughter. I love you very much. Meredith, freshman at SUNY Purchase in New York State. She actually likes it. And I never would have thought of a state school as being an arts and crafts school, but it's an arts and crafty school. Therefore, she fits right in. What's that? Yeah, right. No accountability, pass, fail. That's what you want in a college. Meanwhile, the other one is suffering at a tough college, at the Newhouse School at Syracuse University. And the 11-year-old, she just wants to play with her dolls and her Barbies and her Shopkins. Very big on the Shopkins. Has arranged the entire house, three floors of the house, to accommodate her dolls. Must be 100 dolls. And then before she goes to bed, she's going to cover them up. She covers each doll individually. Can you imagine that?
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Squatters create their own champagne room. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi. I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the duties and responsibilities of an NYPD cop working the polls on Election Day. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Two grown men get into a fight over roaming chickens. A 10 and 11-year-old sibling steal their mom's car for grounding them. A man gets arrested for having booty patrol written on his truck. And oh, look. There's a giant 14-foot dinosaur with a carcass in his mouth. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. All that fun stuff's coming up on Florida Stories.
Bangor, Maine, unhappy hour. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here tonight. Can they make a doorknob that doesn't keep breaking? Plus, moving the internet cable in the house.
And I'm the one who has to pick all the dead mice up off the floor.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Election Day is coming up again. I hope you appreciate the work we go through to bring you the results. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
I went to an all-girls Catholic high school, and this one time in history class, the teacher asked if we had any special prayer intentions for the week. People raise their hand. They say, my dog, my family, my friend, whatever. One girl raised her hand. I'd like to pray for whoever started the rumor that I'm pregnant, because I'm not. The class turns around. There's a rumor that you're pregnant? She says, yeah, you haven't heard? The teacher continues on with class. The end of class comes. Everyone walks up. There's a rumor that you're pregnant? Who started it? She points to a quiet girl in the class. The quiet girl has no idea what she's talking about. Then people ask, who's been spreading this rumor? Who did you hear it from? She points to another girl in our grade. People question the other girl in our grade. She says, there's a rumor that she's pregnant? Everyone in our grade's talking. Apparently nobody has heard this rumor that she's pregnant. Everyone keeps talking. And then we realize she started the rumor that someone started the rumor that she was pregnant.
Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I are driving across the country on Route 80, I-4 in Florida, I-5 in California, and I-90 Deluge through the worst part of America, upstate New York, upstate Pennsylvania, upstate Ohio, the very worst parts of America. It looks like a dystopian fantasy once you get up to upstate New York. The toll plazas are closed. The toll gates are on the side of the road. Lamps are down. It's pitch dark everywhere. If you can see anything, you see trailers that have been tipped over by typhoons, floods, remnants of the Erie Canal. It's terrifying. I-90, real America, bordering Canada. Signs that say, Canada, exit here. And it seems like a really good idea. When you're on I-90, Canada, exit here. Yes, I think I'll wait 14 hours at customs just to get out of Buffalo, please, God. I don't know when I'm going to learn my lesson. You know, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Anytime I've gotten near a commercial bank, it's bad. It's never good. It's never worked out well. It's always a nightmare. At one point, It was one of those mid-sized banks. I had a business account, and the business account was pushing $1 million a month. And I went to them. I said, I'd like a line of credit, please. And I couldn't get a line of credit at this bank because it's always tied in. If you're a small business person, it's always tied into your credit. And, well, you know, with your credit, but no, forget about my credit. My credit's fine. This is credit for my business. Well, you know, you'd have to sign on it. I said, really, does the chairwoman of General Motors have to sign off personally on credit lines of billions of dollars for General Motors? Well, that's different. How is it different? How is it different in any way? Every relationship I've ever had with a commercial bank is bad, and I never learned the lesson, which is, go to a credit union. Do it at a credit union. Open up accounts at a credit union. And I never hear complaints at credit unions. People who have credit union accounts never trouble. Earlier this year, PNC, based in Pittsburgh, out of nowhere, closes our accounts. I've been with them for 8 years. Now, I've discussed this for a year. Now I see the very slow to the punch New York Times today ran a big article this weekend about, no, oh, oh, no, no, no. To New York, yeah, yes, I'm sorry. The New York Times, yes, Charlie. The New York Times ran a big article about banks are closing accounts left and right for no reason. Big article, long article about all of these accounts are being closed, personal accounts are being shut, small business accounts are being closed for. And then you say, well, why? And they don't give a reason, and they don't give a reason, and they don't give a reason. That happened to me at PNC. I'd been with them for 8 years, and every time I said to them, Why? They said, well, we can close an account for any reason, just like you can switch banks for any reason. That's some script they were giving them. What a crappy script. Well, you can close your account anytime if you want. So can we. So can we. And I say, okay, so what's the reason? We don't have to tell you. We're not obligated to tell you. I went, that's because you don't know. You there in customer service, you don't know. It was an algorithm that shut it, and you don't know why, or else you'd tell me. Let's level up. Let's go up 10 supervisors to the one eating donuts right now, get them on the phone, and let them tell me. And it was the same thing. We don't have to tell you. We're PNC Bank. We're a crappy bank. We don't have to tell you. Okay. The branch manager was shocked. She said, what? Are you kidding me? And she calls and calls and calls, and she can't get any more information. But they keep saying, it's about your relationship with the bank. It's about your relationship with the bank. And she's like, your relationship with me is fine. I'm the branch manager. Okay. Well, I go to Chase, a real big bank. Right? I go to Chase, the biggest bank in the world, the biggest bank in America. Is it in the world? I don't know. I'm putting my ATM card in a gas pump on the Outer Banks of North Carolina in the middle of nowhere. I needed gas. There is no number two. There's no other place to get gas, and it's declined. It's declined. I'm like, I know there's money in that account, and it's only been open 2 months. I know there's money in that account. It's a Saturday. Fortunately, there was another way for me to pay for it. But on Monday, I call Chase. I call my contact person at Chase, and they say, oh, geez, it says here you're dead. I'm like, what? Yeah, our computer system thinks you're dead. Well, clearly I'm not dead. Fix it. Well, I get back from vacation. I go to Chase. It's still closed. Mine is still closed. My wife's works. And my two daughters who are in college far away, theirs work, but they're all linked. But my wife's card worked. My card did not work because I'm dead. I go, I stand there, I say, well, clearly I'm alive. Why don't you fix this? Oh, we can't fix it. You have to call. I mean, why would I have to call? Because you guys made a mistake. You're an executive at the bank. You tell the back room at Chase, like in a cheap casino in the 70s, that I'm alive. Well, we can't. You have to call. You got to be kidding me. Why do I have to call when I'm standing in front of you? I'm standing in front of you, and you can't tell your bank that I'm alive? No. All right, so I'm so stupid, I actually call. And I'm now sent around to five different people, including three different people on a team called Estate, the Estate team, the team for dead people. Three different people. Well, we'll send you a new card. No, you're not going to send me a new card. You're going to make the card I own work right now. Right now. Well, I can't. Then send me to somebody who can. The end of the story is this. I started getting emails, and I posted one of them on Facebook, Walter Sterling on Facebook. You have to go look at this email. I got this email from Chase, and it says this. There's an important status change on your credit report. It looks like you were reported as deceased to the credit bureau. Head over to Credit Journey. Head over to Credit Journey. That type of casual, goofy, jerky language in a notice that I'm dead. Head over to Credit Journey to see what steps you can take next if this was reported by mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm dead, can I be taking the Credit Journey? Now, I've posted this on Facebook. It's not a joke. It's not a scam. It's not a fraud. This is a real email from Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase, telling me I'm dead. And if it's wrong, take a Credit Journey. Go over to Credit Journey. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. is a DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska. That's right. There's really a town called North Pole, Alaska. And Keith Fonz, who I've now seen on TikTok and Facebook, because it appears it's really all you have to do all day. He looks like he's an Alaskan. Whatever you'd imagine an Alaskan to look like, that's what he looks like. He looks like a guy who could kill me with his thumb for fun. Just for he could clearly kill a moose with his thumb, but he looks like he could kill me with his thumb. Keith Fonz is a DoorDash driver. DoorDash has started a very interesting initiative on their apps, which is it says we suggest you tip ahead of the delivery. When you place the order, put the tip on even before you've gotten anything. We believe it will make the delivery go faster. Have you seen that, Keith?
I have. And honestly, it's about time they warn customers, because I've been doing this now almost 7 years. And there's a lot of people like me that basically we live by one golden rule, and that's no tip, no trip. A lot of people don't, you know, take into consideration that DoorDash only pays us $2 to do a delivery. We make 90% of our money from tips. Like, for instance, last year, I made $86,000, but over $60,000 of that was just in tips. So if it wasn't for tips, I would have only made about $20,000 last year.
I believe you just said something very important, which DoorDash has not volunteered. DoorDash should put right on the app, by the way, DoorDash only pays the drivers $2 per delivery. That's why your tip is so important. They don't say that. If they said that, it would change everything.
Yeah, because most people believe that, you know, the service charge or the delivery charge that they charge the customer, that we get it. When in fact, we don't. We only get $2 per delivery. DoorDash pockets the rest.
There's a service charge and a delivery charge. What's the difference?
Well, they add on, let's say, for instance, you order a pizza that's $10. Well, they'll add on $5 service fee, basically jack up the price of the item at the store. So they charge like $15 for a $10 item, and then they charge you a delivery fee on top of that.
I've never understood the difference between a service charge and a delivery charge. If I was them, I would just combine them into one number so it does not seem as though I'm paying exorbitant fees. But what they really need to do, Keith Fonz, DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska, they really need to say, hey, by the way, we only pay these guys $2. That's why the tip's so important. If they would just fess up and admit that, that would completely change our point of view about a forced tip.
Exactly. And that's the one thing DoorDash for many, many years is they're not transparent, whether it's the customer or the Dasher. Like, for instance, about 5 years ago, they got basically a lawsuit against them because they were stealing our tips. They were only giving us part of the tips that we, you know, that the customer gave us. And since the lawsuit, we get 100% of our tips now. And if they were transparent to the customer about how much they actually pay us, then I'm sure more people wouldn't mind tipping a couple extra dollars every time they order.
It really is shocking that they were stealing part of your tips. That's like at a bad bar. A bad bar owner does that. A sleazy restaurant does that. For DoorDash, a publicly traded big company, is inexcusable. It's horrible. How has business been since the end of the pandemic?
We've taken a little hit, but people have gotten so used to the convenience, at least in our town, that it really hasn't affected us. You know, since COVID, it has gone up, and I would say on average, there's at least usually about 20 full-time DoorDashers just in our town, and we all stay busy.
Keith Fonz, a great contributor to Sterling on Sunday. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday from North Pole. And Keith Fonz is a good guest because he constantly promotes this show on social media. And you know, social media today is the only acceptable advertising to most of the ad agencies in the world who have no idea how to use it. They don't have a freaking clue how to use influencers We'll talk about that more. Now, at this time of night, it's when you and I are afraid of the phone. We're afraid of the phone because we're afraid that the crazy girl is going to call. A crazy boyfriend's an entirely different problem, but a crazy girlfriend can be more menacing and more terrifying in a way that only somehow women seem to figure out. I'm going to share with you some ways to detect if the girl is crazy on your very first date. I'll tell you exactly how to find out if the girl is crazy on your first date, and I will share with you some of my crazy girl stories, which I'm terrified to even bring up. It's a live radio show. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
How to tell if a girl is crazy on your very first date. Coming up in just seconds, Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Squatters create their own champagne room. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the duties and responsibilities of an NYPD cop working the polls on Election Day. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Two grown men get into a fight over roaming chickens. A 10 and 11-year-old sibling steal their mom's car for grounding them. A man gets arrested for having booty patrol written on his truck. And oh look, there's a giant 14-foot dinosaur with a carcass in his mouth. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. All that fun stuff's coming up on Florida Stories.
Bangor, Maine, unhappy hour. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here tonight. Can they make a doorknob that doesn't keep breaking? Plus, moving the internet cable in the house.
And I'm the one who has to pick all the dead mice up off the floor.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Election Day is coming up again. I hope you appreciate the work we go through to bring you the results. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Fulton County, Georgia, besides trying to prosecute the former president of the United States, they're in the midst of prosecuting four squatters who took over a home in beautiful South Fulton in Georgia. And here's what was going on. They took over the home, and it was a crime den, an absolute crime den. Stolen cars, stolen guns, stolen IDs, and credit cards inside the home. Plus, apparently, it was a strip club after hours and a champagne room with an anything-goes type ethos. Several arrested. SWAT team brought in. Break up the strip club that was non-licensed. And obviously, the city wasn't making any money off of it. So that's bad. Helpful hint. If you're going to start a strip club, do it the right way. Get a license for liquor. Nice location with a stage. You don't need to do it in a suburban backyard. From the champagne room, this was Strippers on the Loose. I'm Vilo Houle, Sterling at night.
Yes, good evening. It's Sterling on Sunday. It's 10 minutes past the hour. And it's a train wreck. The whole show's a train wreck, but it doesn't matter because we're on Sunday night. If it mattered, we'd be on at 10 a.m. when we'd be competing with Good Morning Kansas City. But no, see, I get to compete with the Emmys, the Oscars, the Super Bowl, the World Series, the MTV Awards, the People's Choice Awards, the Kennedy Center Honors. That's what I compete against. These clowns that come on at 9 in the morning, Monday through Friday, well, gee, you know what? They get to compete with Good Morning Philadelphia, Good Morning Miami, Good Morning Cleveland. That's what they compete with. I compete against actual shows. That's why they have to put the big guns on at this time. Do you understand? And I never take a week off unless I'm sick. The only time I ever take a week off is if I'm sick. I'm not one of these clowns. Now, listen, crazy girls. I was single for a long time. And this is how I learned to spot a crazy girl on the first date. See how it matches up with your experience. And I want to hear your experience with crazy girls. I'll give you the phone number because this is a live radio show. It's not like the best of Jim and Slim on the pigs, on the big zone, on the zone radio. Ooh, we're going to talk about sports for 24 hours a day. We're going to talk about RBIs at 2 a.m. That's what people want to hear at 2 a.m. They want to hear about RBIs and the spread. It's so stupid. It's just so stupid. We can do better. We're doing better. Crazy girls. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Three ways to tell if a girl's crazy. Guaranteed every time. If you pick her up at her apartment and you get a peek into her door on the first date, just 2-3 inch peek into the door, and it looks like Hoarders America. It looks like that Hoarders show that you see on, what is it, Bravo or TLC. It's on TLC. Run like hell. Because young men are supposed to have apartments that look like Hoarders, but young women are supposed to have apartments that look like Better Homes and Gardens. They're supposed to have the semblance of neatness. No garbage, no dirt, a semblance of neatness and cleanliness. That's what a girl's apartment should look like. Boys' apartment, who knows? Because men don't have furniture until they're 30. They have gear. There's gear all over their house. But young women are supposed to have nice furniture and have it organized right. If it isn't, run like hell. Women have a different relationship with their shoes than men do. Men don't care about shoes. Men view it purely as practical, and I have to wear them, and I've got a set for work and a different set at home, and I've got 3 shoes, right? I have dress shoes for going to work, slippers for home, and then these heavy things in case it snows or rain. That's what guys have. Women have shoe closets. And they care about their shoes, and their ego's wrapped up in the shoes. And this is not being stereotypical. It's a fact. I have 3 daughters and a wife and 2 female cats who sometimes wear shoes, but only on Halloween. If a woman's shoes are a mess, scuffed, broken, heels falling off, soles are separating, run like hell. Because women aren't supposed to have shoes that look like the foreman's at a construction site. Run like hell. The acid test is this. At some point in the first dinner with a young woman, ask this question. Tell me about your dad. If that's met with silence and distance, and she looks far away and she says, I don't want to talk about my father, run like hell. Because sooner than later, you, young man, are going to be in the crosshairs of that relationship. You will be associated with everything about her daddy. And you don't want to be anywhere near that if she goes, I don't want to talk about my father. Run like hell. I've had crazy girls. I had a number of them. But remember, I was single for a long time. And just the odds are that I would have a large number of crazy girls. I also had several really terrific, smart, pretty country club girlfriends. On the whole, I did really well. I did really well with girlfriends, but I had some crazy girlfriends. I had one girlfriend who I met on an airplane, and the short story is this. She had multiple names. Her cat had multiple names. She claimed to be a recording artist and a model. And she was affiliated with a well-known modeling agency that had never heard of her. And she had put out a demo album or something. Didn't exist. You know, I'm in show business. I could find that out pretty fast. Didn't exist. Basically lied about every single thing in her life. But here was the problem. She was living in an expensive apartment with a blonde version of her. These two women were living together, brunette and blonde, in an expensive apartment in Manhattan, and neither of them seemed to have a means of support. And multiple names. And the phone rang 24 hours a day. I should have run like hell after the first date, but she was pretty and funny and clever. She was really interesting. Technically, a really good date. But she lied about everything. Crazy girls. I'd like to know your crazy girl stories. 888-688-WALT. Maybe you just have one. But I'd like to know how you could tell if a girl was crazy. What was your first clue? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday.
Inspired by Anna Kendrick.
So, and now there's a scene in the movie that I understand was pretty uncomfortable. You guys were in the shower together.
Uncomfortable. It was the best day of my life.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about what it's like to be an NYPD cop or detective working the polls during election time. So every November, there's some kind of election, be it a local councilman, mayor race, sometimes for the presidency. The NYPD takes the elections very seriously. And usually what happens is a day or two before election day, NYPD members and specialized units, a teletype comes down and says, you got election detail. And it doesn't matter where you work. You could work in the Bronx and they could send you out to Brooklyn. You could work in Queens and they could send you to the Bronx. There's no rhyme or reason to it. So there's challenges on both sides of the coin, depending on what hours you work. So if you're working the morning shift, you arrive at a precinct. You don't know anybody there with probably 40 or 50 other cops, depending on the size of the precinct. You're given a manila envelope with a bunch of paperwork in it, and you're given directions to a polling location, which can be a school or an auditorium. You get there first thing in the morning, and you're starting at 4 in the morning, and you get to the polling location about 6. And the polls are usually run by old people, retirees. And the morning, you're half asleep. You just want to get through the paper. And these old people are all over you. You're like a chew toy. They're asking you a million and one questions. Then they can't get along, and then they fight. And then as the blood sugar levels fall, they start falling asleep at the polling tables. The 4 to 12 on the polling locations is actually worse. Although you don't have to get up early, same thing, you go to a precinct, they give you an assignment, and they tell you, okay, go to the precinct to relieve the day tour guy. You go there, you get the paperwork, you sit down, and it's definitely more crowded and more things going on at a polling location in the afternoon. But you can set your watch to it. Usually the polls close at 8 or 9 o'clock. You can set your watch to it that at 8:01 or 8:02, somebody's going to try to get in after the poll master says polls are closed, and they're going to try to vote. And then you tell them, I'm sorry, you had all day to vote, you can't come in. And then they kick up a fuss, and then you throw them out. Once, what happens is the people that run the polls, there's protective counting numbers on all these big machines that they use to vote. They write all this information down on that paperwork you were provided. You take these manila envelopes filled with statistics, and then you race back to the precinct. So everybody gets back to the precinct about 9, 10 o'clock. And then you have cops inside to take those envelopes from you, and they enter all the statistics from the polling locations into the FINA system. And that's how the statistics are done for the election. But the thing is, you come into the precinct and you got the 4 to 12s coming in. You've got the midnights leaving, and you're just like an unwanted guest standing around. But the thing is, nobody can get dismissed until those statistics are entered and everything is supposedly certified. So I've worked election details sometimes from 4 in the afternoon till 3 in the morning until everything was straightened out. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department.
Did you ever date a crazy girl? All right. I dated three or four certifiably crazy girls. I meet another one on an airplane, which really should be the clue. Don't meet girls on the airplane, Walter. I'm sitting on the airplane, and I'm wearing like a sporty windbreaker. And she's wearing a country club outfit. And we start talking, and it turns out she thinks I'm a jock because I'm wearing a sporty outfit. And I think she's a country club girl. Neither is true. We meet, we go out to dinner, and we start, you know, dating. But she's crazy. Now, let me describe to you the busiest place on earth. The busiest place on earth is the month of December, Christmas time, in Manhattan on Canal Street, the heart of Chinatown. It's also one of the few true crosstown streets. It's a four-lane road going two ways. Most streets in New York City are one way. This is a two-way road. It goes from the East River to the Hudson River, takes you to the Holland Tunnel. Therefore, a lot of traffic takes you to Chinatown, the courts area, and Holland Tunnel. It's mighty busy. Well, now it's Christmas. It's 10 times as busy. And there's a cop every 10 feet. Every 10 feet. It's the only way traffic's going to get through Canal Street in daylight is if there's a cop every 10 feet. All right, now there's a cop every 10 feet. I am the only person you have ever met who never did any drugs. I never did pot. I've never seen cocaine. God help me. I never wanted to see heroin. I never have seen any drugs, much less use them. I'm in the car with the crazy girl, and she has many crazy ideas. She smokes cigarettes, which doesn't really bother me as much as it should, but she smoked grass. Now we're in the heart of traffic on Canal Street with a cop every 10 feet. I'm driving, and she lights up a joint. She lights up a joint. I said, are you nuts? Every 10 feet, there's a cop looking at the cars. Here's a moving vehicle. If he gets one whiff of it, I'm going to be pulled over. They're going to give me 400 drug tests, and I'm going to lose my license and get fined $10,000. That's where my brain takes it immediately. The three ways I know if a girl is crazy: bad shoes, bad relationship with dad, and an apartment that looks like a hoarder's. What has your experience been? Another crazy girl story I have is I went out with a woman who lived in Kansas City. And for me at the time, in the 80s, this was perfect because I was traveling all around the country helping radio stations grow their audience share as a consultant. And there she was in the middle, sort of a hub-and-spoke system of dating. But I never cheated on a girlfriend. I have never done that because I assumed I'd be caught immediately. If I took a girlfriend I was cheating with to a hotel, I'd assume I'd come down to the lobby with this girl, the door would open, and there my girlfriend's parents would be. That's how my brain works. And she started doing this weird thing. She said, you know, I'm going to go, instead of flying from Kansas City to New York, why don't I stop in St. Louis and you'll save money? It'll be a cheaper ticket. And I don't mind. It's a short layover. She starts flying from Kansas City to St. Louis to get to New York. Kansas City, St. Louis to get to New York. And because I flew all the time, there was no way I was taking a stop. To me, a flight that stops was the greatest inconvenience on earth. But she was going to do this. Well, what I learned was so shocking and horrible. I'll share it with you coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. I hope you're having a good time tonight. I've got so much to talk to you about. We're talking about crazy girls right now. Your experience with crazy girls at 888-688-WALT. Your experience with crazy girls. Coming up in just seconds, Michelle Welsh will take us into the psychic world of lawyers in just seconds. Now, weather, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Two grown men get into a fight over roaming chickens. A 10 and 11-year-old sibling steal their mom's car for grounding them. A man gets arrested for having booty patrol written on his truck. And oh, look, there's a giant 14-foot dinosaur with a carcass in his mouth. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. All that fun stuff's coming up on Florida Stories.
Bangor, Maine, unhappy hour. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here tonight. Can they make a doorknob that doesn't keep breaking? Plus, moving the internet cable in the house.
And I'm the one who has to pick all the dead mice up off the floor.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, Election Day is coming up again. I hope you appreciate the work we go through to bring you the results. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details later here. On Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Tales from our old house, living there with our eight kids. Can they make a door handle that doesn't break? I've talked about this before, repeatedly. The kids break the heavy-duty outdoor door handle.
Okay, I have explained this to you before, that our door gets a whole lot more use than anybody else's door. We are at the house 24 hours a day. Somebody is there. We homeschool. They're in and out of the house. It's like we need a school industrial door with, you know, like the wire in the glass and you have to push it. And that's the only thing that's not going to break in the house.
I'm buying the most expensive quick set or Schlage or whatever they're called. And they keep breaking, internally breaking. All right. So it always happens on a Sunday night. After the home store's closed, I come home the other night, the door is duct taped closed with no doorknob.
We had to do something. I think maybe because it always happens on a Sunday night, we maybe should buy a couple of extra knobs to keep around the house.
Duct tape.
It's what we had to do. We had to go to bed. It was late. We duct taped the door together. I mean, ingenuity.
Also this week, Becky decides she wants the computer to sit on the other side of the room. Sounds easy, but the internet cable goes in the wall on that side of the room. So we have to crawl around in the dungeon to run the cable up the other side. That was fun.
I want to point out, though, why it's not actually that hard, because when the radiators all came out of our 150-year-old house, nobody ever fixed the holes in the floor. I also have those duct tape closed. Yeah. So all you had to do, babe, was just rip off the duct tape and stick it in the hole.
You make it sound so easy.
It was. It didn't take that long, and it was done. Okay, while I'm on a roll here, let's go back to the night we duct taped the door closed. You knocked yourself out. You're snoring, and I hear the dead mouse. I am laying there in the bed. I know the mouse has died. I don't know where the traps are because you set them, and you won't wake up.
It's a perfect plan.
So I went in the trash can and dug out a box and had to basically smush it into the box myself. You promised. That was the one thing you promised, that if we had the tickety neck-breaking traps, you would get rid of the mice.
I've been happy to do it had I been awake.
I was trying to wake you, and I really honestly think that if you slept through that, you had to be faking. Moral of the story here is buy more duct tape for the holes in the floor in case the doorknob breaks. Have a few extra doorknobs tucked away somewhere, and make sure that you have an air horn to wake up your husband if you find a dead mouse.
I'm on Instagram, Dan Gaffney Show.
I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling on Sunday.
All right, there's Michelle Welsh. Now, Michelle is the rarest of all people. First of all, I'm going to say this with the safety of vast distance. Michelle is beautiful. If these pictures are accurate at all, Michelle, you're beautiful. Number two, you're a lawyer. Michelle is a civil and criminal lawyer. She is a soul psychic, and she's studying to be a death doula. What the hell is a death doula, Michelle Welsh?
Hi there. Thanks for all of that. And the pictures are pretty accurate, but thank you. A death doula is it's, if you think of midwives, where they go in and they still do help people deliver babies, death doulas are people who are trained to help people transition who or maybe have a terminal illness, but also to help their families. Also, you can and I can go in to, as a death doula to someone who is deciding what they want to do, let's say, for their funeral, and help them with that because there's so many other options than the ones that we just think of off the bat. So it's pretty interesting. And some of the stuff that I had to study made me change. Like, I don't want to be embalmed, and we don't have to be. It's not illegal. So things that I had to watch were like, woo, but I really learned a lot. And also just to be more have more empathy when I do mediumship readings. So it really helped a lot.
We had a doula for our second child. We had a midwife for our first child. The midwife was a disaster, freaking disaster. Because, we were delivering our first child, and she's there in the hospital room with us, and then she disappears for like 25 or 30 minutes at, you know, a critical time, because all times during birth are critical. It turns out she was delivering another baby. She was with another mother during those 25 critical minutes. And the doula, we had no problems. Now, right. Michelle Welch, you're a lawyer, a litigator, a civil court lawyer, a criminal court lawyer, and a psychic. And you have crystal recipes for the holidays. Crystal, am I supposed to start eating crystals? Is that like grape nuts? What's the deal here, Michelle?
Please don't eat them. And also, if you have young children around or animals, you've got to be careful with them. But what I came up with was, just use the word recipe, because when we go through the holidays, I feel like it kicks off around like now. And we put a lot of stress on ourselves. We spend a lot of money, all these things. Maybe we don't get along with the family that we're at, that's certain with it, maybe Thanksgiving or whatever. And so I put together just this fun, I called it a holiday recipe of certain crystals that will really help during those times. But no, don't eat them.
Nobody gets along with their family. They lie if they say they do. Which crystals do I need to put, and where do I need to put them to help get along with the sister-in-law? Because it is the sister-in-law that controls your marriage. I don't care who you are. Your sister-in-law controls your marriage. How do I manage the sister-in-law with crystals?
One of the best ways for harmony and to get somebody to just chill when they're just coming in looking for that, let me drive you nuts and let me, the one that ruins everything, tiger iron. I call it the threefer crystal because it has jasper, hematite, and tiger's iron in it. And if you'll put a big bowl of that, now I'm not, it's a relatively, really inexpensive crystal, but if you put a bowl or a bigger tiger iron in the kitchen or the family room, then it will bring a lot of harmony. Another one that does that is fluorite. It helps with a lot of things like focus. I'm very ADHD and I always have fluorite around me, but it also helps with like teamwork, which could also translate into helping with that sister-in-law or whomever it is. Those are two really good ones. But the tiger's iron are so pretty that when you put them out, it's real decorative, too.
Michelle Welch, I see the list of these crystals and what they do. Where can I get a copy of this list? How does a Sterling on Sunday listener get a copy of this very impressive list of crystals and how to use them?
So they can get it from my website, michellewelch.com. I'm updating it to look a little prettier so that everyone can just print it out and cut it out and put it right where they can see it. And so, and it's no charge. Just go to michellewelch.com and it'll be there.
Spell them. Welch.
Like the great stuff. W-E-L-C-H.
Welch. Now, you're from Texas. Do you want to know something shocking about Northerners? You want to know something shocking?
Yes.
Yeah. Northerners, you can actually go to a restaurant in the north and say, I'd like an iced tea, and they'll say, we don't have it. And I'll stare at them and I'll say, do you have tea? Yes. Do you have ice? Yes. Okay, then you have iced tea. It's an amazing phenomenon. The other thing about Texas and New York is this. I have never known a New Yorker who didn't love Texas, and I've never known a Texan who didn't love New York. And I think that's because the rest of the country hates us both. So
we do have that in common. Some of people are getting where they feel that way about Florida, but I don't. I love Florida. So I hear that sometimes, too. They're gaining on us. I don't know why. I don't know what that's about, but yeah.
I don't either. Now, do you ever bring these crystals into the courtroom? Has a judge ever reprimanded you for this?
Absolutely not. Maybe if I was like gritting, you know, putting crystals all over the place and bringing them out. But that's when I would wear them like as a bracelet or even something just underneath, you know, a necklace that no one could see. Because I don't need to flaunt it, especially if I'm picking a jury. And I also help pick juries and I help with cases sometimes too, just as a kind of a anonymously, because I really don't want to be subpoenaed and put on the stand. And then also I will use crystals during that time, and definitely like a stretch bracelet, something really that could go under my suit when I'm dressing really conservatively. Because, you know, when we're trying a case, especially if you're picking a jury, the last thing you want is somebody go, yeah, I don't like that person because of their tie, and I don't like her because she's wearing a bunch of crystals. So you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's MichelleWelch.com. MichelleWelch.com. Discover her crystal recipes for the holidays. What a great guest Michelle Welch is. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Inspired by Judge Judy.
You have nice people who invite you for Thanksgiving dinner a month in advance, and then you spring on them the morning that you're coming. We have to bring the dog. It's wonderful with babies. It's wonderful. It doesn't even bark. Do you understand? That's real gall. That's real gall. I'm saying this to the tens of millions of people who will watch this program in repeats, originals, whenever, when I'm long gone. If you're invited to someone's home for an event, and especially if it's a stranger, don't bring or ask to bring your dog.
All right, Sterling on Sunday. Here we are on KMBZ-FM in Kansas City. Giant number one talk station in Kansas City, and KFBK in Sacramento, just number one station in Sacramento, period. Oh my gosh, it's a privilege to be on these great radio stations and to be sharing this time with you alone in the 18-wheeler, alone in the car. This is our time. This is the only time we get to be alone, and I lust to be alone. My mistress is solitude. And therefore, when I take a vacation, it has to be, well, it has to be special. It has to be luxurious. I have to feel like royalty. I have to be pampered to and taken care of and get to see things I've never seen before. For years, I have wanted to meet you, Midnight Misfits. I have wanted to meet you. And I have tried a number of times. Keith Mortensen, 18-wheeler. We tried very hard to get together a group of people at a Waffle House. And Waffle House corporate was very excited, and everybody was excited until we learned that no Waffle House has Wi-Fi. And that's because they don't want it to become a Starbucks where everybody lives there. Every unemployed guy lives there. They want to sell waffles, and then they want us to leave. I got it. I've talked about the south of France a number of times. I got engaged in Monaco. I knelt in the Mediterranean, and I put a ring on my Katie's finger, and we got engaged in the Mediterranean. For real, it was beautiful in Monaco. I love Monaco and the south of France. Nice, Saint-Tropez, Aix. Oh, this medieval town in the south of France called Aix, E-Z-E. It looks like it did 500 years ago with the most modern, luxurious, wonderful hotels and restaurants. And I was saying this on the air, and a company called Colette got in touch with me, a travel company called Colette, and they arrange for special trips like this with you and me. I said, well, I don't want to go someplace for 10 days and have to go to 10 different hotels. They said, no, one hotel in Nice. A beautiful hotel in Nice. Our time's our own. We spend time together or not. We're misfits. We're not going to hang out in groups. But we get the advantage of being with some other people. There are advantages to that. This is a limited number of misfits are going on this trip. This is not a big tour. This is a limited number. It's an exclusive trip, and I'd like you to find out about it, and I'd like you to join me and my wife next October. Plenty of time to plan, plenty of time to get organized, plenty of time to get a new suitcase, to get your passport together, but we are going to the south of France next October. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and scroll down a little till you see a big, beautiful picture of the south of France, and click on the link, ask for the information. And if you don't want to do that, send me a personal email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, with your real mail address. And I will send you two things. I'll send you the beautiful brochure, which has a picture of me and my beautiful wife on it, and all the information you could ever want. It's just a small brochure, but it's really nice. And I'll send you a holiday card. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send me your real mailing address, and I will personally mail you this beautiful brochure. And then later on, I'll send you a holiday card and a personal note, because you and I are together in this. We're alone. It isn't like 40 people are listening to this at the office. This is one-on-one in the 18-wheeler, in the car, going across the country, or just getting home. This is our time, and I want our time to extend to the south of France. Let's go to the south of France together. Next October, thanks to Colette Travel. These are special guys. This is a really high-class, high-end travel agency, travel organizer. They have worked with me on my specs, and my specs said we're staying in one hotel. WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
I believe there are already humans on Mars and have been there for a long time. I've been haunted by this thought since last week. Dave Scott and I will talk about this in just seconds. Now, weather, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Two grown men get into a fight over roaming chickens. A 10 and 11-year-old sibling steal their mom's car for grounding them. A man gets arrested for having booty patrol written on his truck. And oh look, there's a giant 14-foot dinosaur with a carcass in his mouth. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. All that fun stuff's coming up on Florida Stories.
Bangor, Maine, unhappy hour. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Well, Election Day is coming up again. I hope you appreciate the work we go through to bring you the results. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Coming up in just seconds, we'll have Florida Stories at 16 past the hour, plus a report from Walmart in 8 minutes. Dave Scott, you and I have talked about the fact that you are the UFO expert. You're the strange new worlds expert. Last week, you and I, Dave Scott, talked about my suspicion that humans have already been to Mars, are living on Mars, and until they're darn sure that's working out okay, no one's going to make an announcement. How do you feel about that, Dave Scott?
I think you're 100% correct, my tinfoil hat-wearing friend. I do believe that, there is something called the secret space program, which we touched on last week, that has taken us to all ends of the universe to explore everything from the heat of Venus to life on Mars. And I think we have dropped people off there. And if you listen to some of the stories of people who have allegedly done these 20 and back type of trips where they go to Mars for 20 years, and then they get launched back into their youthful body 20 years previous, there could be something to this story.
For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. You're so nice. For our first Florida story, we're going to go to the Tampa area, where I'm trying to piece this one together, because what we have is there's a neighborhood with roaming chickens, and the roaming chickens are supposedly the origin of the dispute between a 43-year-old Florida man and a 65-year-old Florida man. An argument escalates. It turns into, shall we say, a kerfluffle, and they get in a fight, and then now people are in legal trouble. But I feel like we're missing a lot of details here, because then it just fast forwards to after these guys got in trouble, both guys go to jail, and then the cops have to go confiscate three chickens. And so I see the video, and it just shows the cops taking three chickens and putting them into a police vehicle, and I guess they're going to chicken jail. So I don't know why three chickens are getting arrested when two dudes get in a fight. I don't know if one of the guys owned them and the other guy was just ticked that the other people let them roam the neighborhood. The only other detail I have is they talked to some of the neighbors, and some of the neighbors liked having the chickens, and they left out food and water for them. But this is all I've got. I've never seen chickens get arrested and get. Is there a chicken jail? Like, where are they taking them to? I don't know, dinner? I mean, like, I don't know, like a KFC or something. I don't know how any of this works, and this is Florida, so I don't think I want to know. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. This keeps coming up, the whole alligator slash crocodile situation, where, you know, you people, you're so brave and nonchalant about living in a house whose property backs up into the natural habitat of a 14-foot dinosaur. I know the weather's nice in Florida. I don't know where you came from before that, and maybe it snowed and you hate cold weather or whatnot, but do you have to live so close to dinosaurs? And this keeps becoming a problem because, you know, it's the statistics seem underwhelming when you find out, like, oh, well, there's only like six people a year killed by alligators in Florida. That still sounds kind of like a lot, because there's a bunch of people who are running around getting their arm ripped off and whatnot. And so what we have here is a almost 14-foot alligator. They had to chase him down and kill him because someone found a human body floating around in a canal. And this was in the Ridgecrest, Florida alligator. The size of this thing is immense, though. I have a video from Fox 13.
First on Fox, a gruesome discovery in Pinellas County, where witnesses found this almost 14-foot gator with a body in its mouth this afternoon. This happened in the Ridgecrest community along 134th Street near Overton Road. Fox 13's Justin Matthews is out there live.
Now, Justin, I'm sure you're a great reporter. I don't care what you have to say at this point. Why are you people getting eaten by dinosaurs in Florida? Move! Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Scott and I were talking about UFOs and life on Mars, and we were interrupted. And I believe it was a CIA, NASA, NSA conspiracy that disconnected this entire network during this very vital conversation, because I believe they don't want this truth out. The truth is, I believe there are people living on Mars, and they've been there for a long time. Let's start again there, Dave. How do you feel about that?
Well, first off, your first sentence leading back into this conversation shows that you're exactly right. These agencies do not want us talking about these subjects. So my advice to you and your listeners is tighten up the tinfoil, because we don't want anybody's brains being scrambled by alien woo. Second, I think you're 100% correct. I do believe that with the secret space program, which we talked a little bit about last week, that there is a strong possibility that the reason why we haven't gone as far into space as we did with Apollo, and we're now just starting to get into it with Elon Musk, is because we are already there, Walter.
It wouldn't make any sense to develop that technology and then say, oh, well, for 50 years, we're not going to do anything. It stopped 50 years ago. It stopped 50 years ago. The last time the Beatles had a hit, it was 50 years ago. Why would we have spent all of the energy and money that we did from 1962 to 1972 to get to the moon, to have the ability to get to Mars, to have every astronaut saying our next goal is to get to Mars, and then, boom, shut down? It makes no sense. The only explanation I've ever heard was from Stephanie Osborne, who was a NASA payload expert, and she said, Walter, it was never a scientific mission. It was always a political mission. It was always just to beat Russia to the moon, and once we did that, the project was done. And I'm like, those are really big rockets. I have trouble believing that. What do you say, Dave?
Well, the interesting part about it is, to continue with what you're saying, Walter, is this. You talk to anybody at NASA, they allegedly threw out all of the plans to get to the moon, all of the rockets. Who does that? Who does that?
In Florida, I went to the Space Coast, and I saw where those launch pads were, and there were big for sale signs on them 10 years ago. There were actual for sale signs on that land. I'm like, it makes absolutely no sense.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? I think it's because we have technology that could get us absolutely anywhere. There are these black triangles that we call TR-3Bs. Many people have spotted them over major cities. It's also a possible explanation to the 1997 Phoenix Lights, where these ships can hold up to 300 to 500 people. And I asked a secret friend of mine one day who used to work at a secret base somewhere on the West Coast, but not California, who basically, I asked him about these black triangles. And I said, hypothetically speaking, I said, where would they land? Because they would have to come to Earth. And he goes, what if they don't land? Hypothetically speaking. What if they are just always in space?
Yeah,
what if they're just always there?
Ships that never come to port. The only person I know in the space program is William B. Davis. William B. Davis played Cancer Man on The X-Files. And
Vancouver Boy.
There you go. And we actually spent a good deal of time together for a variety of reasons that I will tell you another time. But I said to him, do you ever hear from any of these people? I mean, you're an actor on a goofy show. Do you ever hear from any of these people? He said, I have heard from CIA people who have told me you're not too far from the truth.
Yes.
And there we are, Dave Scott. Dave Scott, how do I get in touch with you during the week?
SpacedOutRadio.com. We're always there for you.
And you're Canadian. You claim to be Canadian. Is that true?
That is true, according to my lost passport.
Why is it that the hardest country for me to get into is not France, Italy, Ireland, England? It's Canada. Why is it the hardest country for me to get into?
Because you're not used to our beer yet.
God help me if I ever get used to your beer. Thank you, Dave Scott. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Good evening, Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday, live radio show. There's nothing else live at this time. I want to talk to you about this trip. I'm so anxious. I can't wait to do this trip with you. Listen, one of the greatest places for a vacation and to settle down and get the gift that we deserve is the south of France. And I've talked about the south of France through the years doing Sterling on Sunday for the past 9 years, which, by the way, is the number five show on during this time period in the city of Philadelphia, beating all of these other very unimportant radio stations. And I am grateful to you for that. Now, listen, it's time for you and I to meet. And I've tried to do it many times, but I've also talked about the south of France many times. My fantasy is to work at Riviera 104. Riviera 104, the only English language station on the French Riviera. The French Riviera is remarkable in that every square inch is gold. Every square inch of the French Riviera is oozing with luxury and warmth and comfort and taking care of you. Just the pampering that you and I finally deserve. and the opportunity to meet each other finally going to happen thanks to Colette Travel. This is a, I'll say it, it's a high-end travel organizer. They don't do big tours. It isn't dumb buses. It's the best hotel in a given area and one place. It's a nine-day trip next October. And we stay in one hotel. We don't go to nine different hotels. We stay in one hotel in Nice and get to absorb it and feel it and get to know each other or not, because you and I are misfits. We don't really get along with other people, and we're the only group of people who would possibly understand that. But there's so much that we're going to be able to do if you want to. Nice, Saint-Tropez, Ez, Monaco. You got to see these in October when the weather is at its best and the Mediterranean waters are warm and luxurious. It's like a beautiful warm bath all the time. It isn't a harsh ocean. It's a beautiful body of water. It's just gorgeous beyond belief. The thing I like about Monaco is that it's meant to pamper you. The entire place of Monaco is designed to pamper you. They have these magnificent lounge chairs on the beach. You reserve them the day before, and it's your lounge chair all day. And you sit down in this lounge chair, and they hand you a menu, and they keep feeding you all day while you're staring at the Mediterranean doing what? What? Nothing. You don't have to do anything. You finally get a vacation, and we get to know each other. And I'd love to do that, and I'd love for you to meet my wife, Katie, my long-suffering, incredibly beautiful wife who has given us three gorgeous children and never listens to this show. She never listens to this show, so I can say whatever I want. Get the information. The trip is next October. It is limited. Already many misfits have sent me notes and emails requesting the information. I want you on this trip. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Just scroll down a little till you see a beautiful picture of the Mediterranean. Click on that, get the information, or we can make it more personal. Send me a personal email with your home address, and I'll send you two things. I'll send you the brochure about the trip. It's just about our trip. It's not like a big travel brochure. It's about the Walter Sterling trip. And I'll send you a holiday card if you send me your real mail address, and that's all you're going to get at it. That's it. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. You'd think I'd have a company email address by now? No. Did CBS give me one? No. Did Odyssey give me one? No. Did Westwood One give me one? No. These are cowards. Oh, well, we can't give it to you because, you know, you have to be an employee. Yeah, security issues. Are you out of your freaking mind? What security risk am I? Hi, I'm an overweight diabetic. Exactly what security risk am I? WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Let's get together. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. My hero. I've got two heroes today. Mark Rowan, the CEO of Apollo, which owns WSB in Atlanta, which is where we should be on again soon. Now that Pete Spriggs, the coward, has left, his last act was to cancel my show. Screw you, Pete. And Ken Charles, who will put it back on. Mark Rowan, the CEO of Apollo, which owns WSB in Atlanta and many other great radio stations and TV stations, he's a big shot at the University of Pennsylvania. He's a billionaire. And last week I talked about him, and sure enough, 7 days later, the New York Times writes about him, or the Wall Street Journal, or one of them writes about him. It's the Times writes about him. Or is it the Journal? I don't know. No, it's the Journal. Wall Street Journal wrote about him 7 days later. Good, good. Right on top of things, guys. After the Post got it. And Mark Rowan has said to the Board of Trustees at the University of Pennsylvania, I don't like the way this school has reacted to the Israeli war. I don't like this at all. There has to be a condemnation immediately of any anti-Semitic comments, remarks, anything has to be stopped, because I believe now the head of the Board of Trustees should be removed and the chancellor of the school should be removed because they did not act fast enough. And I suspect Mr. Rowan is the biggest donor to the University of Pennsylvania. He certainly controls many dollars that go to, and he has said no more, not another penny. And he's right. Same thing with Bill Ackman, a big shot at Harvard, who has said the same thing. He says, President Claudine Gay we've lost confidence of her over the college's anti-Semitism and says she'd never have parroted free speech if students had mocked George Floyd. She's not saying anything about, well, there should be there's freedom of speech. They should be able to support Palestine, freedom of speech. She wouldn't have said that about George Floyd. That's what Bill Ackman, the tycoon, is saying about his alma mater, Harvard, where he also teaches. And he's saying, no more. Cut her off. That's it. These are my heroes, Bill Ackman and Mark Rowan. I congratulate you. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Bangor, Maine, unhappy hour. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Well, Election Day is coming up again. I hope you appreciate the work we go through to bring you the results. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Happy hour at Walmart in Bangor, Maine. It is a real deal. People go out of their way to go to that wonderful Walmart and enjoy the wonderful specials and values. Apparently, though, one customer, not so happy. And I'm about to tell you a bunch of stuff that just put under the thing, alleged. Okay? It's everything I say is alleged now, from now on. All right. Lucas Landry's 44, old enough to know better, right? One would think. He lives in nearby Smyrna, Maine. A beautiful place. You haven't been to Bangor, Maine. What are you waiting on? It is a great place. So 5:45, Friday night, Lucas Landry rolls into the Walmart. And for reasons that we don't know, not fully explained, he decided to set fire inside the Walmart. Quickly apprehended. Apparently it set the fire, allegedly, inside the men's clothing department. Generally speaking, the finest fashions are always available at Walmart for men. I'm wearing a Walmart suit right now, and let me tell you, Fashion Week beware. Fire department quickly put out the fire. Lucas Landry arrested. Walmart shoppers relieved. Yes, there was video. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we are going to go to Orlando. Actually, we're going to go to a small town just west of Orlando called Brooksville. And an Orlando woman, 48 years old, and her friend, another Florida woman, 33-year-old, they're in Walmart, and they pull this scam where there's an old lady shopping with her purse in the cart, and one girl distracts her and takes her around the corner while the other girl goes and opens her purse and grabs whatever she can out of her wallet. So they steal her ID, they steal some of her debit cards, and they steal her cash. So they go and they make some purchases, and they get the hell out of there before the woman even notices that her card is missing, her debit card and cash is missing. Well, when she does check out, they go back and they look through the security cams and they see the scam happening. So they're trying to zoom in and get a good picture of the ladies who did this. And so they're looking at it for a while. They've got all the information they need. The sun sets, a new day starts. The next day, there's another theft that happens in the parking lot. So there's a sheriff's deputy there making a report. When one of the security officers sees our 48-year-old Florida hero, anti-hero, I suppose, Swifties out there, you know what I'm talking about. She comes back to the store. The two ladies come back to the store to do the scam again. She gets recognized, and they go tap the cop in the parking lot and writing up another theft report. They're like, you're not going to believe this. Remember that story we were telling you about from yesterday? Those ladies came back. So the deputy jumps on it, approaches our 48-year-old Florida woman. She pulls out pepper spray and sprays him in the face. So then she starts casually walking off after she just blasted a sheriff's deputy, and she's going to the parking lot running back to her car. The security officer that tapped him on the shoulder in the first place confronts her.
She pulls out her pepper spray and tries to spray him. Now, it says it hits him in the arm. I don't know if he was just walking normally and it was a bad shot, or maybe he shielded, because it sounds cooler if he like shielded his face with his arm. And then he pulled his taser on her and says, stop right now or I'm going to tase you. And she gives herself up. But that was a pretty interesting scam. They haven't got her accomplice yet. But in the battle of pepper spray versus taser, taser can win, but you have to do the defensive block with the forearm first. These are the lessons we learn. Important lessons that we learn and teach you on Florida Stories. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
A lot of emails, a lot of interest in coming with me to the south of France. Now, gentlemen, the important thing about the south of France is all of the beaches are topless. Do you need to know anything else to want to come with me next October to the south of France? There really is nothing else. Let's get this straight. Beautiful weather, warm Mediterranean, terrific hotel in Nice. One hotel for the whole trip. We're not jumping hotel to a hotel. I couldn't even begin to think about that. That wouldn't even be a possibility for me. One hotel. We go to different towns when we want to. We see what we want to see. It's a luxury trip. For grown-ups. This is for grown-ups. And you and I will get to spend time together and get to know each other, which is something I've always wanted very much. I've been doing the show for 9 years, and I know that Midnight Misfits are special. I know that Beryl Kravitz, Dee Wells, John Kelly, Rosemary Furlong, Frankie Red, Jim Carducci, Jim Kelly, Annie Knupp. Hey, Annie, I've got to see you on Facebook again. Judith J.G., Marion Jewel Riley, who has the most beautiful name I've ever heard. Oh, my gosh. Ben White, Jane Hunterton, Charlie Green, and his handsome kid, Phil Luker. Welcome. These are Midnight Misfits. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, scroll down to the beautiful picture of the Mediterranean, and get the information. Click on the link. Get the information. No one's going to come chasing you. No one's going to bug you. You get the information once you decide what you want to do. And you have plenty of time to decide because we're going next October. But it's a fixed number of opportunities. Very few seats. I did not want a big tour. I didn't want, 100 people. I wanted this to be a vacation that you and I can take together. And really enjoy it and spend a little time getting to know each other or not, because we don't fit in. We're not normal. You and I are introverts. Introverts come up with the ideas that extroverts take credit for. There's the curse. In any organization, any company, it's the introverts that come up with the original ideas, the innovative ideas. Some clown who speaks too loud says, oh, that's a great idea. You're fired. And then they grab your idea and run with it and get rich. I hate to tell you how many times that's happened. More Florida Stories coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Shapiro.
I was looking up the names of the eight. I'm so angry that we're even in this situation at this point in time.
Sterling on Sunday, now 3 good minutes.
Because our veterans were brave enough to put their lives in the line of fire, I am shocked that suicide among veterans is a very real issue. Daniel Seehofer, that's a very real issue. What can I do to help a veteran in a way that will help prevent a suicide?
We need a family effort, don't we? All of us working together for this. When we look at this, that's why we created not just a catchy theme or some kind of a phrase, but we really created a mission with ours being called Be the One. Be the One. So our concern is focusing on the number one, one veteran at a time, where we can save one veteran at a time.
If I know somebody who is a veteran and I have a relationship with someone who is a veteran. What should I keep an eye on to make sure that they are healthy and living their best life? And if I see it go astray, what should I do?
We have created this buddy check system. And what you can do is do the same exact thing. So out of that, we have 3 points where we ask, we listen, and we reach out. Just that simple ask. You know, we talk about what can we do? And you ask, hey, how are you doing? How's it going? Just that simple opening the door, if you will, or that planting the seed. Because sometimes it stops and it's like, hey, this person really does care about me.
Daniel C. Hoffer, I have often suspected that when a person in uniform keeps hearing, thank you for your service, thank you for your service, at some point it becomes annoying to them. Is there a better thing for me to say when I see a person in uniform? Is there a better way for me to acknowledge the service that they are providing?
Well, we don't want to not ever say thank you, that it's wrong somehow. I know it can be like, okay, you know, thank you. However, then pinpoint it. But when I see somebody, I go and I say, you know, thank you for your service, but thank you for my freedom.
Oh, what a great line. Thank you for my freedom. What a terrific thing. That's what I'm going to say from now on. Daniel J. C. Hoffer is the national commander of the nation's largest veterans organization. He got that position on August 31st, my sister's birthday, during the American Legion's 104th National Convention. C. Hoffer likes to say, it's personal. You're a great man. Thank you so much for your time. I wish you a blessed Veterans Day. Thank you very much for keeping me free.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Well, I'm going to chalk this one up under the classic battle that's going on in America, the public, very public debate over free speech or hate speech or slander or what's parody and what's fair use. And, you know, this is a worthy discussion of your time and effort. It's a very important issue. So for today's Florida story example, we're going to go to DeSoto County to the beach, where a guy got in trouble because he has his car painted up to look like a Border Patrol vehicle. It even has the lights on it and everything. But he's in trouble for impersonating a police officer because this isn't a Border Patrol vehicle. His actually says Booty Patrol. That's right, Booty Patrol. We go to the local NBC affiliate here, just so you don't think I'm a crazy person making this up. WBBH.
So fun, you know.
Meet the man behind the Booty Patrol, Gabriel Lovano. He's the proud owner of this tricked out Chevy pickup truck.
I mean, the truck alone was like 75.
That's just for the decals, plus another $5,000 to light this truck up like a Christmas tree.
I was just bored, you know, and I just decided on that.
That's a lot of money just to be bored.
Yeah, I know, man, but like, you know, just to have fun, you know.
So far, it's just been fun and games for the 18-year-old from Bradenton.
I have videos of cops coming up to me and asking me if they just want a picture.
But on Sunday night, after an event in Arcadia, he met a DeSoto County deputy who wasn't laughing.
So as soon as I pull out of the event, a cop pulls me over.
Deputy's writing him this ticket for improper display in his rims, including the prohibited red and blue lights.
Oh, how are you going to send this guy to jail? This is a Florida hero. That looks so good. It really did look like a Border Patrol truck, but it just says Booty Patrol on it in the same font and everything. And kudos to him, man, because this guy has a walking party wherever he goes. The thing lights up like the nearest dance club, and he had a bunch of friends packed into it. It looked like a good time. I thought this was America. We can't run around in a fake jurisdictional enforcement vehicle as if anyone's mistaking the Booty Patrol truck for an actual law enforcement function. Get a hold of yourself, people. He's just having fun. And this is Florida, by the way. You'll have a lot bigger problems than the 18-year-old boy genius in the Booty Patrol truck. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is this?
Concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
We don't need AR-15s. We don't need plus-size models, gender studies degrees, or diversity officers either. Yet here we are.
Sterling on Sunday. This is a three-hour show. It starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, ends at 1 a.m. Eastern, or 7 p.m. West Coast, KFBK, Oregon, and ends at 10 p.m. West Coast. It's a live show. It's 3 hours. If you're scratching your head going, I don't know, does this station carry it for 3 hours? If they don't, it is your job tomorrow morning or before you go to bed at 5 this morning to send an email to the owner of the station and say, I demand Sterling on Sunday to be 3 hours. It's a three-hour show, and art can't be split up. They say, well, you know, you should divide it up into segments. No, I'm not going to divide it up into segments. This is a three-hour piece of art. We work on it together. Now, I've gotten all these emails and all these questions. I want you on this trip with me to the south of France. Misfits United. Next October, we're going to the south of France. Imagine that. Staying in one hotel for 9 nights. One hotel, not 9 different hotels. Nice, Ez, Saint-Tropez, Monaco, many other towns and villages that you and I have the opportunity to visit and absorb the beautiful Mediterranean and the weather, which is always amazing. We got to do it. How do you find out? You can either go to waltersterlingshow.com right now and scroll down to where you see a picture of the Mediterranean. Oh, my gosh. Click on the link. Get the information. No one's going to bug you. Or send me a personal email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. I'll send you the link. I will mail you to your real mail address a nice brochure. It's just for the Walter Sterling Show. It isn't like 20 different trips and you have to find yours. No, just for the Walter Sterling Show trip. That's it. That's all it is. 4 beautiful pages. And I'll send you a holiday card, too, for taking the trouble to do that. You and I have to get together. Neil Paul, Jane Huttington, Rebecca Canna, Rebecca, Ron Layton, Eddie Valdez, Frankie Red, and my very favorite, Rosemary Furlong and Beryl Kravitz. Oh, you're the best. I enjoy being with you. Now, next week, we're going to find out about my daughter Meredith and how she resolved the problem of having somebody who wants to be their friend who they don't want to be their friend. Imagine somebody who likes them too much, who wants to hang around too much. This is something that has never happened to you and me because we hide in the back of the cave. We don't want any friends. As I said to my daughter tonight, I said, no, you know, my greatest hell is having neighbors. I have no interest in neighbors, but I do know this, that the greatest gift that I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.